We're in Daniel chapter 4, lesson 30, in the book of Daniel. We're starting out verse 20. Daniel chapter 4, verse 20. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached into heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves was fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, upon whose branches of the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reached into heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. Now who's the tree? Nebuchadnezzar. And last week we was talking about some trees in the Bible, and I've got a few more I want to share with you guys before we continue here in Daniel. If you will, we was going over some trees, okay? And we're going to go to, keep your finger there in Daniel, but Ezekiel is another one. But ever heard of the branch?
Yeah.
Okay. The branch, what's that? Okay, that's an illustration. But Ezekiel chapter 17, talks about verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle, and speak a parable unto the house of Israel, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long-winged, full of feathers, which have divers colors, came into Lebanon and took the highest branch of the cedar. He cropped off the top of the young twigs and carried it into a land of traffic. He set in a city of merchants. He took also the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree. And it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, Ezekiel 17, low stature, whose branches turned towards him and the roots thereof under him. So it became a vine and brought forth branches and shot forth twigs. Verse 8, it was planted in good soil by the waters, and that it might bring forth branches, that it might bear fruit, that it may be a, what, goodly vine. So here's the branches that he's planting, and it's going to be a goodly vine. Look at verse 22. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also take the highest branch of the cedar, and will set it. Now, we're talking about trees in the Bible, right? We're talking about trees being people. We're talking about trees being nations, that type of thing. So he said, verse 22, Thus saith the Lord God, I will also take the highest branch of the high cedar, and will set it. I will crop off the top of the young twigs, a tender one, and will plant it upon a high mountain, an element. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and shall bring forth boughs, and bear fruit, and be a goodly cedar. And under it shall dwell all the fowl of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord, have spoken and have done it. Now God had planted Israel in the land to be a branch, a vine tree, and the whole earth, but we know what happened to them, right? That's why when we look at the right division chart, this top line up here is the true Israel, is the vine. So God took a tree out of the midst of all of them planted. Now, Psalms 80 talks about some things about the host, but we know that there's only one true branch, don't we? We also know there's one true vine. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 4 says, "And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will rise up unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in all the earth." Now, who is that?
Jesus
Christ. He's the righteous branch. You know, in Zechariah 3, talks about my servant, the branch. Zechariah 6 talks about the man whose name is the branch. Isaiah 4 talks about the branch of the Lord. John chapter 15, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband." So who's the branch?
Jesus Christ.
And we can see that Jesus Christ is, and the only branch, in all dispensations. With me? He's the branch of the tree. Now, go to Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56. Here's a tree in the Bible. It's called the dry tree. Well, I call it the dry tree. And Isaiah 56, verse 2. Isaiah 56. And many of you remember probably the study that I did on the trees, and I don't want to bore you with that again, but there's some things with the tree, with Nebuchadnezzar having a vision, and Daniel's doing the dream, and we'll get back to that in a little bit. But there's some other trees in the Bible you might have forgot or think about. But blessed, verse 2, "Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeping his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of a stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a what? Dry tree. Verse 4. For this saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in my own house, and within my walls a place, and a name better than the sons of and of the daughters. I will give them an everlasting name, and that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the strangers that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and love the name of the Lord, be unto his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and taketh hold of my covenants. Even them will I bring to the holy mountain, and make them joyful in the house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifice shall be accepted upon my altar. For my house shall be called the house of prayer for what? For all people." Now, according to the law of Moses, a eunuch were cut off from the congregation. You know who Daniel was? Okay? There's a lot of eunuchs in the Bible. And the Lord describes three types of eunuchs in Matthew chapter 19. But in Acts chapter 26, hold your finger there in Isaiah and go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to what?
Worship."
Now, well, let's keep reading. "Was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the spirit," now here's an Ethiopian Jew, or excuse me, Ethiopian, "that comes to Jerusalem to worship." Pentecost. You ever wonder why? He's a Jew. Short answer.
See, a proselyte, you figure?
No, he's a Jew. And or otherwise he wouldn't be there. Or proselytes would be, I should say that. But look, he is commissioned to go and take something there. What's going on in Acts at this time? Pentecost. Party time. You go up and worship. So look. And Philip ran, well, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. Now, once again, here's an Ethiopian eunuch having the written word of God.
Very important guy.
Yeah. So he's like, serious, this is serious stuff. You know, I don't know how, if that excites you guys or not, but it does me. That tells me the word of God was out there. It was plentiful out there. And he says, and Philip ran thither and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand thou what thou readest? Hey, that's a good question to ask people. Hey, you understand what thou readest? I have no idea what Paul's talking about here. Or James, you know? James says this and Paul says this. Well, you understand what thou readest? Do you rightly divide us? You know, the type of thing. That's what I would say. Look, and he said, how can I except some man should what? So you need teachers, you need preachers, everybody's evangelists, right? Everybody's a witness. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Verse 32, the place of the scriptures which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. In humiliation he judges was taken away, judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from earth. So where is he at in Isaiah? What's he talking about here? Yeah, and we're going to be turning there for a second. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet? The prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures and preached what? Unto him, Jesus. That's exactly what you and I should do. If somebody don't know who Jesus Christ is, you can go to the scriptures and show them about his earthly ministry if you want to. But it's not to you and I. You come to Paul and you can find out that it's all. But look, Isaiah 54. He's not in Isaiah 53. That's Isaiah 53 where he's at right there. Go to Isaiah 54. We're going to work our way a little bit through the book of Isaiah just for a glance. Verse 1. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. Isaiah 54. Thou that didst not travail with trial. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtain of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. They're expanding their household, right? They're expanding their home. Verse 5, For thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in the spirit, and a wife of the youth, when thou was refused, saith thou God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. That's good news, isn't it? For Israel. In a little wrath I had hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Now who is the Lord going to redeem?
Israel.
His people, his firstborn, his Israel. Verse 9, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me. Boy, that covered a lot of things, didn't it? Mm-hmm. Waters of Noah. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. So yeah, the Lord's going to chastise a child. So what's he doing here? Got waters out there. He's going to forgive them. He's going to redeem them. Isaiah 55 verse 1. But the Lord says ho right here. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the what? Waters. And he that had no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. It's going to be plentiful for them. Whoever wants that water. Isaiah 56 verse 3 and 4. We read this a few minutes ago. Neither let the son of a stranger that have joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a what?
Dry tree.
For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Acts chapter 8. So here's a eunuch that's a dry tree that's been separated, and he's keeping his covenants. He's going to Jerusalem. With me? Now look, verse 36 of Acts. And they went, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. Now what did you just read about water? Let it be plentiful. And the eunuch said, so he started in Isaiah 53. He's over here in Isaiah 56. And he's learning about water. He's learning about thirst. He's learning about coming to something. And they came into certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What do hinder me to be what? And Philip said, if thou believest in thy heart, they mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down in the water, and both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And he says, and when they had come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called Philip away, and that eunuch saw him no more and went on rejoicing. What was he rejoicing about?
About finding the Lord.
Not only that, but what? The eunuch is no longer called a dry tree. See? He's part of this now. I don't know if you guys, you know, this is awesome how God did this. You know, he's including everybody in this program with them.
I was just gonna say the prediction there in Isaiah 55. Says you can buy wine and milk without money, without price. The first one.
Yeah,
right here. That's dispensational.
It's plentiful.
Age of grace.
Yeah. So this dry tree that eunuch was, he's no longer dry, guys. He's part of that system out there. He's part of the Lord's system. Now look, everybody know what a silver tree is, right?
What?
A silver. You ever heard of a silver tree?
No.
What's Jeremiah chapter 10? Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. Listen, the water of the Lord, you're getting water from the Lord. You're getting food, water.
Knowledge, okay? Wisdom.
Yes, knowledge, wisdom, understanding. See? And the thing about the eunuch, just, you know, and I hope it didn't go like this. I just know that when I saw that a eunuch no longer be called a dry tree. So he was dry. He was out there not being watered with what the Lord was giving him. Now when he met Philip explained to him and worked through Isaiah. See how you take the Bible, work through it, and it makes sense. And it made sense to him. Here's water. He just read about the waters of Noah, you know, plentiful. And now he's going back to Ethiopia rejoicing that he's...
Oh, Christian. Back in Acts, were teaching the grace, they were Jews.
Right. This wasn't Peter. I mean, this wasn't Paul preaching. This is Peter. This is still working through the nation Israel for salvation.
Okay.
Israel has not fallen yet.
Okay.
See? That's why the book of Acts is very, very important when you study it. Don't take your doctrine out of it like 90% of these churches do. Acts chapter 2, 38, 39, that type of thing. Okay? The transition is a transition. It's going to tell you about the fall of Israel, the diminishing of Israel. That's what the whole book of Acts is. So yes, they were still going to the Jew. They were still going to the Jew up to Acts chapter 11. None but the Jew only. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, and for the heathen are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vain. One cutteth a tree out of forest, and worked with the hands of the workmen with the axe. They decked it with silver and gold, and with gold. They fastened it with nails, and with hammers, that it may not move. That all upright the palm tree hammers, that it may not move. That they are upright as the palm trees, but speak not. Listen, these dumb idols can't speak. So you know what he's talking about here?
Christmas.
We call it a Christmas tree.
Yeah, lots of tinsel.
Yeah. So here's a tree that seems like that many people put up around Christmas times. And that's all I'm going to say about that. They're beautiful decorations. Next tree looking at is cross. I just went through that brick. Cross. This is the main tree of the whole Bible. It's the cross. And Luke chapter 23 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen, this tree here is a center of our field. It should be the first and foremost in your life when you talk about somebody's salvation. And they, if they can't hit that cross, what's the chances they're even saved? And this is very serious, guys. Okay? Because I guarantee you, if you go to a shooting range and you got a target out there, and it's a little red dot in the middle, and then there's about a 2-inch black dot, spot, then out and the other is off the target. If you're hitting outside of that black spot, you're not on target, are you? You know, I've watched a couple of us, my wife and I, we go to range sometimes, and we shoot, and we anticipate, and we drop before we shoot. And every time it's going below that black. But when you hold it there and you bring it down and you shoot, it goes in the black, like, wow, exciting. Then you get one in the red. If y'all have to touch the red, it counts as a bullseye. So many of us can't hit that target. And it's sad that we know people out there, when you talk about salvation, they can't hit the cross. But Luke chapter 23, there's a tree known as the cross was planted on a hill called Calvary. Luke 23:33. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Listen, only the King James Bible has the word Calvary in your Bible. So if you have any other version, when we sing that, at Calvary, you can't sing that verse. It ain't in your Bible. I mean, you can sing it, but it ain't in your Bible. But look, they crucified him, and the malefactors on one right, on the right hand, and on the left. It is our tree of a life for this dispensation. That tree right there, that's a tree of life, buddy. It'd take a dead man and make him alive. 1 Corinthians, you've got to be reminded of this once again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Do you do what? You preach what? You preach a cross? What does it say? To them that perish, oh, that's foolishness. You preaching that old cross. It's about this and it's about that. See? Yeah, you with me? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. It's foolishness to them. But to us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring it to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Well, where are they? Hath not God made foolish to the wisdom of this world? Yes. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the fullness of preaching to save them. That's why God, when you're up against the pricks and the bricks and the stone walls and stuff like that, you continue to preach the cross. Don't let nobody tell you anything different. Because God took just foolishness of preaching and saved them that believe. How simple is that? This old truck driver got it many, many years ago. And if I can get it, some of you guys can get it. Go back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 31. And you're back in Daniel chapter 4, okay? I hope that helped out a little bit, you know, in some different trees, because Nebuchadnezzar is a tree. Isaiah 31, verse 1. Isaiah 31, verse 1. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the third month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to his multitudes, whom art thou like in thy greatness? Now, was Pharaoh a pretty good, pretty big to-do guy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Behold, verse 3, behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches and with a shadowing straw and in high stature, and his tops were among the thick boughs. Boughs. I mess that up every time. Boughs. I got to remember tie boughs. Boughs. So he's a big guy out there, right? In Lebanon, thickness. The waters made him great, and deep set him upon the high waters where her rivers running round about his plants, and sent out little rivers until all the trees of the field. So here's a big old tree there, and he's sending out rivers to water what? Little trees. Therefore his height was exalted above all the trees of the field, and his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitudes of water when he shot forth. So he's gathering his stuff. He's getting all this stuff. All the fowls of heaven made their nests in his boughs, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadow dwelt all great nations. Isn't that much what Daniel's saying Nebuchadnezzar was?
Yeah.
But Ezekiel's having a vision, and he's telling Pharaoh the same thing. Thus was the fair of his greatness and the length of his branches, for his root was by great waters. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. And the fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his what? Beauty. I have made him fair by the multitudes of his branches, so that all the trees of were Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. Now, where's the garden of God? You just read it.
Eden.
Verse 16. So Here's a tree in the garden of God that sprouted himself up above all the other trees in the garden of God. And they envied him. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall when I cast him down to hell with them that descended into pits. And all the trees of Eden and the choice of the best of Lebanon, all that drink water shall be comforted in the neither parts of the earth. They also went down into hell with him, and to them that be slain by the sword, and they were slain, they that were his arm, that dwelt under his shadow in the midst of the heathen. To whom art thou this like in glory and greatness among the trees of Eden? He's looking at Pharaoh. He said, which one are you likened to? Yet shall they be brought down with the trees of Eden unto the nether parts of the earth, that thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that will be slain by the sword. This Pharaoh and all his multitudes, saith the Lord. It's interesting how God used the tree to illustrate who at this point? Pharaoh. The same in Daniel chapter 4. When we read Daniel chapter 4, verse 10. Thus were the visions of my head and my bed, and I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great, and the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into heaven, and sight thereof the end of the earth. Here's a tree going up through there. Can you vision what they're looking at here? Listen, when I'm traveling down the highway, I'm 4 or 5 feet off the ground sometimes. I can see things that you can't see in your regular four-wheeler. And I can see things out there around those trees, and there's always bigger trees. You know, not far from here off Route 30, the biggest tree in Ohio is out here in Jeronesville. And it's this big. It's this big. And when I first heard about that, I'm looking, and I know where it's planted. It's right there off of 30, where you turn on Jeronesville, 89 there. And it's on a farmer's field. And I'm looking, I see one tree above the other. I said, that's got to be it. And every October, they take you out there on a little tractor ride, and you go out there and see it. Now, the trunk ain't this big, but it's got trees coming out of that, if you know what I'm talking about. So I'm looking at this thing. I'm seeing trees above trees. We was down at the Wilds not too long ago, and they planted trees on this hill. And they planted all kinds of them to see which one would grow on that hill. Well, some of them's taking off and some of them's dying. Okay? So trees are very, very important in life and in the Bible. And the leaves thereof, verse 12, were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was for meat. And the beasts of the field had shadow under it. And the fowls of heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof. And all the flesh thereof. That tree in Nebuchadnezzar is feeding all the other people, the fowls. But back to the garden just for a minute. Who was in the Garden of Eden? You're still in Ezekiel a little bit? Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. Verse 11 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up lamentation upon the king of Tyre. God is using these kings, and Satan's using these kings to do his will. Okay, Satan is right here. And thus saith, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect beauty. Thou hast been in a garden, in Eden, the garden of God. Now who is that? Okay. And then he talks about verse 14, thou art an anointed cherubim that covered. Verse 15, thou wast perfect in the ways, in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. That tree is Satan through Pharaoh here. But Nebuchadnezzar is back there, isn't he? Go back to Daniel. Hope I didn't butcher that too bad. I just wanted to show you about the trees in Pharaoh is equal. Verse 23 in Daniel. Notice what happens to this tree. Notice what happens, what follows, okay? Now he's a tree, and all the birds are following him. All the fowls of the air are there. You ever see that happen? You ever wonder what's in that tree to make all them birds there?
You know, when they mention the fowls of the air, a lot of times that's satanic.
We're getting ready to see that if we get to that today. Yes, you're very much true. And I know there's birds out there and they're trees, but you know there's some birds can hide all night and you never see them in there. Mm-hmm. And you're like, where did that thing come from?
Seen on Google or one of those things, this dead leaf butterfly. Folded up, looks like a dead leaf. Opens it up to all this beauty
yeah,
on the inside of the wings. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Verse 23, Daniel 4, 23. And whereas the king saw a watcher, and the watcher is an angel, and the Holy One coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even the band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times passed over. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heavens, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Now who's the tree?
Nebuchadnezzar.
And a tree prophetically foreshadows the Gentile nations. That's what it's doing out there. It's covering them and all. Covering them all, right? The cutting down the tree is a prediction that Nebuchadnezzar is going to be driven out and he's going to have a madness strike him. Remember we talked about the war tree? And John the Baptist said the axe is at the root of the tree. He's ready to cut that tree down to Israel because they was apostated. They had no fruit. They're going to cut it down and make bulwark out of them. And if you go down through the passage, as we will, verse 31 and 32, and we'll see that it comes true. But verse 26, and whereas thou commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after thou shalt have made known that the heavens do rule. So they're cutting a tree down, but what are they leaving?
Stump.
And the brass and stuff, the iron, to hold it together. You know that stump can come back up, can't it? How many of you have stump how many of y'all have cut trees down in the past and left a stump? What a pain, right?
Yeah.
You know, you still got a mow around, you might as well let the tree up there. You know? But sometimes you can, that tree will start sprouting again. And you're like, yeah, it's coming back up. And he said, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after thou shalt have known that the heavens rule. When Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged that God Almighty is the ruler, then he gets what? The kingdom back. Notice the counseling what Daniel gives him, verse 27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsels be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be enlightening or lengthening of thy tranquility. You know, that's a good Bible principle right there. You know that? Think about that. You know how to quit sin? Go wash in the creek seven times. Make sure you pay your tithe before you get out of here. You better show up every Sunday. Is that how you quit sinning?
Yeah.
Better read your Bible every day. Is that how you quit sinning? You know how you quit sinning, guys?
Take
Thomas?
Christ.
What is it?
Take on his
righteousness. Well, you do what's right. You do what's right. You never, you will never break a sinful habit. You'll never break off sin. You never cut the line of it in your life if you can't accept to do what's right. You know, it's hard sometimes. But sometimes it's best. Yeah, I'm going to do what's right. I don't care what everybody else does. I'm going to do what's right. And if you want to put off doubt and fear, you put on faith and what? Confidence. You know, that goes with witnessing too. I just don't know what you know. Yeah, you do. What saved you? What did you trust in to get saved? You want to put off greed and lust, drinking and sins of the flesh? Then you put on what? You said righteousness. Righteousness. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 has to do with sanctification. Hey, you're already justified. You don't have to keep, oh, I must be lost. No, you're justified. Then you jump over here in Romans 6, 7, 8 and said, okay, I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to law. I'm dead to flesh. I'm dead. What brings me alive? Christ. What choices I'm going to make? Good choices. Paul says you put on righteousness or
unrighteousness.
You're either going to yield to righteousness or you... How many's been to why? You call it a fork in the road? And didn't know which way to go. And your GPS didn't work. And somebody turned the sign backwards. And you're like, okay. And your wife goes, won't you just stop and ask somebody? No, we've got to go this way. And you go that way. Next thing you know, it's like dead end. You're, uh-oh, it's getting dark. Gas needle's zero. But look, but anyway, you put on righteousness. Whether it is outward activity or whether it's mental attitude of righteousness, you must do what's right. And that's what advice Daniel's telling him. Say, look, this is going to happen, you king. But if you turn and do this, you're going to get it back. The idea that is Nebuchadnezzar is told to get right. And Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar to get right. And he gets right. Things will go well for him. How many times have we told, somebody's told us that? Just do what's right, Ed. Just do what's right. But, just do what's right. Don't do what everybody else does. And you know what a difference that makes? In work life, in home life, social life. That verse in Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's what Daniel's saying there. Something you need to else see about verse 27. Daniel's telling Nebuchadnezzar that he's going to end up as a what? Animal. A madman. But you can avoid it by getting rid of the sin. And a great deal of emotions and mental problems that we have today, and that your kids have and their neighbors have, and people that you see on the job, is a result of this sin. We live in a sin-cursed world. And that's why I've learned how to deal with people. Like, I know where you're at. I know exactly where you're at. You know, there's truth in God's Word that comes out there, but it's up to you. And if you want to get them right, or you want to be right, to get right, you find out the sin is, and you tell them, put righteous in its place. You get rid of sin, you break it off, and you put righteous in its place. That's hard. It's hard when you got a spouse that's telling you that every day, get right. Get right. Leave me alone. Get right. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. You don't need your wife sometimes. You need your conscience to tell you. You know, you get rid of iniquity and put righteousness in its place. And you know what you'll find? You'll find stability. That's why I thank God that God wrote a book for us. And how to study the Bible, right and divide. Hasn't that put stability in your life sometimes and a lot of things? And we make excuses of all kinds. And we have no idea what sin really is. And we want to justify our actions, don't we? You know, we always talk about you point that finger, you can't point that finger because how many's pointing back at you?
Three.
That's why I go like this. You know, you shouldn't do that. That's what the military does. They don't do this, do this. You. You ain't gonna got nothing with me. You. We want to justify our actions. The most foolish things in the world a man and woman can do is try to justify his own sin by pointing to someone else for excuse. Man up. Just man. Yeah. I did it. I did it. That's why I try, when I tell them training and stuff, if you do something, be honest, tell the truth. Because you're not going to lie in this trucking world no more. They got cameras. They got electronic this. Cover up. Watch what Nebuchadnezzar's sin is right quick. Daniel chapter 4, verse 28. See what his sin was. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of his kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Right. See what his sin was? Me, 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 I. The sin of pride. And we know what the middle letter of sin is.
I.
You know what the middle letter of pride is.
I.
You know what the middle letter of Lucifer is. You know what the middle letter Edward is? No, just joke. But anyway, look, the I. The letter is the letter, middle letter of sin. Verse 31. Listen this now. He went in and said, "Look what I did." Now Daniel, he trusted Daniel in Daniel chapter 2, right? And Daniel got his faith. Daniel chapter 3, he what? Trusted the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So he knows who God is, and he acknowledged it two or three times. There's no other God in the land. And he was flourished. And what did he go in there? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee." You better thank God Almighty today you live in the day of grace. Because if you lived under that law program, it was swift. When you come over here in this millennium kingdom, but you're not going to be there, by the way. You're going to be in the heavenly places. That millennium kingdom, law is swift. You break the law, you get thrown in the pit. "And they shall dry thee for men, and thy dwelling shall be in the beast of the field. Thou shalt make thee to eat grass as an oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven out from men, and did eat grass as an oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs was grown like eagle feathers, and his nails like bird claws." You know that madness has a name? You know what it is?
Schizophrenia.
No, it's a lycanthropy?
Lycanthropy.
Yeah, what is it?
They pronounce lycanthropy.
Okay, I'll buy that one. Lycanthropy. You
it's
said.
It's a psych term?
What is it?
It's a psych term.
It's a psych term? Well, it's a term what the people say, and it is when a man or woman imagines themselves to be an animal. Okay?
Oh,
and Nebuchadnezzar goes stark raving beastly. He goes insane. We used to call them lunatics, right? Yeah. He is out in the field and he thinks he's an ox. And notice the terminology here. Over and over again, madness and reason are detailed in description. And the terms matches the tribulation period. Remember Daniel? It's talking about over here. Okay? And he goes out and eats grass like an ox. And in Ezekiel chapters 1 and 10 and Revelation chapter 4, the ox is represented as what? Satan. Okay? And the people talk about him having two horns. The two horns are horns of an ox. And people go around withholding what?
Peace.
Yeah. Two fingers. They go like this. There you go. Or like, rock on. You know, that type of thing. Whatever it is. You know, and people go around with home and peace for victory and all that too. And they don't know what they're doing. And this is what it is. And Satan connected is in the ox in the Bible. In Genesis 3:14, when God talks to the serpent and he says, you're going to be the curse above what? All the cattle in the field. See? That's why when they came out of Egypt and Aaron got busted, and he said, oh, we just throw the gold in the fire and it just popped out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No, he graved. What did he grave?
A
golden calf. Okay? And Nebuchadnezzar, and you got to, you know, you trace it all back through there, it's connected with the devil, what this is. So Nebuchadnezzar go out like an ox, and his hair grows like eagle feathers. And if you go down through Ezekiel 1:10, you'll see an eagle associated with the same type of thing. And Ezekiel 1 is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ passages. And he says his nails grow like bird claws. And Revelation 18:2 about Babylon being inhabited with every filthy foul bird. You know what birds are a type of the type in your Bible is?
Demons.
The demons, yeah. Birds are. You know the parable in Matthew 13 and Mark 4 about the sower going out and sowing seeds, and then the fowl of the air came down and what? Snatched the seeds away. And Christ said that Satan's taken the word out of those people's hearts. Listen. I've been around for a while, not as long as some of you.
58 years.
And I've grown around 300 acres as a kid. And I've watched certain birds, and they're scary. And you know, at night or early in the mornings. And like we said earlier, they will scare you. And those birds were tied to demons, and that when they snatched the word out. So when you know these things in the Bible, you know, and you're going out as a kid and you see these things, you think of those birds, those fowls of the air, and they're going around snatching. You know, some
Hollywood uses that, the omen, the birds.
There you go. That's what I was going to say. You remember that movie, The Birds? You just thought he had a bad nightmare. But no, they created geniuses. Hollywood's doing that. And they're taking it right out of the Word of God and putting it right out there, and they show you these things. Oh, that wasn't too bad. Yes, it was bad. It, you know, that type of thing.
It's not happening today. I mean, God's not using birds today as omens.
No.
Okay.
But anything happened in this place, grace of God, but Satan's a prince of power of the what?
Air.
If he can use, if he has minister light standing in pulpits, you know, your mind can to see a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he's using animals and stuff like he pertaining here. But these are things that's showing you that there's going to be a time that they can come down. And if Satan can come down and snatch the word of God away from somebody where they can't get saved, what are they doing? They're being deceived. But anyway, and all the terminology is such as till seven times pass over him refers to 7 years of the tribulation period. And what you have is a madness. I'm getting ready to close here. And what you have is a madness that is Nebuchadnezzar is a picture of insanity that is going to go on in that tribulation period. It's not going to be pretty. You talking about earlier about the financial institutions and how many years ago the stock market crashed? 90?
90 years.
People went crazy, didn't they? You know, yeah, they killed themselves. You know, it's over. They didn't have the security you and I have. You know, yeah, they might wipe out the bank account, but you still have life in Christ Jesus. You know, look right here. A whole basket full of good stuff to eat. Yeah, vegetables. Now, your grocery market ain't going to have that. But let's move on. What you have is a madness and then a tribulation period. What is the Antichrist called in the tribulation period?
The beast.
The beast. There you go. The beast. And what do men do to beast? What will they do to him?
Worship.
Yes. They worship him. And the tribulation period is the time that God looks at the Antichrist and said he's a beast, he's a madman. And what does the world do? They bow down and worship and exalt him. And the insanity of madness, they want it. They take part of it. They buy into it. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.